The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Okay, welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy here. Melissa's on vacation. Well, actually, she's touring Chicago right now in the cold weather, visiting the Aging Society of in America, the conference. So hopefully she'll come back with some great ideas on aging and some of the things that she's seeing nationally in the United States here on aging. So anyway, welcome back to the radio show. We're here every Saturday from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4. In every issue of the magazine, you'll see a little quarter-page ad of this radio show. So if you forget, we're here on AM 690, The Answer. And, you know, as you guys know, I'm offered to speak around town quite a bit. And every time I go, I would say 80% of our audience are women. And I know the guys are out there because we see them every once in a while. They're either playing, hopefully playing golf or not watching TV all day long or the Korean soap dramas, because my dad actually watches those now. But thanks to DVR, anybody know what DVR is? You can tape the show. So whenever I go over to his house, you see a whole list of Korean shows that he hasn't watched yet because he was either playing tennis or in Vegas. So it's a whole slew there. So anyway, so I've always wanted to find a program that could feature men. And we've done softball. We've done a little bit of tennis. But we've done ballroom dancing, but most of the ballroom dancers are women. So we finally found one. And thanks to Jerry here, Taniyama, we found a program called Men's Shed. It's called Hawaii's Men's Shed Association, SHED. And we have actually four gentlemen here, part of the group in Hawaii. So Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Percy. Aloha.
Yeah, aloha. And introduce your three other gentlemen here beside you.
Next to me is Glenn Sears. Glenn is the president of our nonprofit organization. And next to Glenn is Dr. Jonathan Okabe, still practicing dentist, soon to be retired. And next to Jonathan is Michael Trojan.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming on the show. And so, you know what I love about your program is that it gets you out of the house, right? It keeps you active.
Got it.
And I know you guys have your own careers, but what I wanted to find out, first of all, where did this come from, and why do you folks do what you do? So who wants to, Glenn, you're the president.
I first saw an article in the Rotarian magazine about a year or so ago, and it was an article about men's sheds in Australia.
Okay, Australia came from.
And they started there about 10 years ago.
Really?
And they were the result of a group meeting about the problems with older men's health.
Older men's health, okay.
And
oh, make sure your phones are on vibrate now. Anyway, so it started in Australia. Oh, it's Jerry's phone. Anyway, so it started in Australia.
Yes, and as a result of that conference, they thought, well, maybe some kind of a place where men can go and build things. And
build
so they
things.
Started the first men's shed.
And so it's called Men's Shed in Australia as
yes.
well?
Yes. Oh. And there are now well over 1,000 of them in Australia.
Really? 1,000?
1,000.
So it's like bigger than Rotary maybe?
Well,
not really. Jonathan
well,
said.
and besides that, there are 2,000 of them in 11 different countries.
Wow.
And somehow or another, they seem to have missed the United States and Canada.
They've missed? So you're the only one in the United States?
We are the first one in the United
really?
States.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I know Hawaii, we're always kind of in the forefront on aging. But, man, I mean, going from 1,000 to 1, that's a big, I mean, that's hard to believe. Yeah. But I'm glad you found it because I think it's something important. I don't know my dad would do that anymore because he goes to Vegas and he likes to play tennis and
well,
you know, he plays bridge.
He's not the kind of person we're trying to get. We're trying to get the guy who doesn't quite know what to do with himself. He's lost all of his friends from work. He used to have a garage where he tinkered and made things, but He's downsized into a smaller place.
My dad still has that, by the way.
Oh.
Remember I told you, he just built a mobile pitching mound for my son. I should show you the picture later on. But he's very handy with his hands. It's just that, you know, between Vegas and a Korean soap opera and tennis and his cruises and plays bridge, might have a hard time finding. But it's interesting. So for the men's shed, is it always about using your hands, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
With so many men's sheds, there's no commonality to it. They each one are different. So there are men's sheds that do woodworking. There are men's sheds that do metalworking. There are men's sheds that do foundries work. There's even a men's shed that does bookbinding in England.
Really? Wow. I probably can't join because I'm not very good with my hands. Besides playing baseball, I was trying to help my friend renovate his house, and we're pounding nails. He goes, "Yeah, you want to come pound nails?" I said, "Sure, I'll come to pound nails." You know, that's the thing, pound nails, right? So I'm on his roof, and he goes, "Tuk tuk 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 tuk." And I was hitting the nail twice, missing three times. And he goes, "Percy, that's enough. You're putting dents on my wood there." But anyway, so can I ask Glenn, what did you retire from?
I was a civil engineering professor.
University or
at University of New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. Oh, great. They have a lot of seniors there.
Yeah.
They have a lot. And they have a big softball association there.
Well, I left quite a long time ago.
Oh, okay. But anyway, next in line here with Jonathan Okabe. Jonathan, you're still working as a dentist?
Part-time.
Your sons take over the business, hopefully?
No. I wish. That's always a hope. But No, they took different directions in their careers.
Obviously you work with your hands, but a different format of, because you have to be really good with your hands. I just went to my dentist last week, Dr. Lance Terremoto.
I know Lance.
Yeah, you know Lance, and he doesn't play softball anymore. That's why I met him. But I mean, yeah, you got to be really good, but you got to be careful. You don't want to hit your hand with a nail or anything like that, right?
Well, my hobby throughout my life has been woodworking.
Oh, really? So, what kind of woodworking can I ask?
I make cigar boxes, small cabinets.
Oh.
Custom tables.
You smoke cigars? Can I ask?
What was it?
You smoke cigars then? You just make cigar boxes?
I don't smoke.
Oh, okay.
It's not good for your health.
Well, I do once in a while, I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, I donate it. Oh. And partly I'm in, also I'm in involved with the Rotary Club that sponsored this first men's shed.
So you're in the same Rotary with Glenn here?
No. Oh. No, but they're the club I went to try and get men's sheds started, and they really were helpful.
Well, Rotary does such good work in the community. I've been to many, many Rotary clubs. Which, can I ask which one, by the way?
Honolulu Sunset. We meet at...
Raw Hawaiian?
No, Waikiki Yacht Club.
Oh, Waikiki Yacht Club, okay.
In the evening.
I've been in one Raw Hawaiian with, I think, Lina Kobo folks there over there. I've been to the one over at Wildlife Country Club. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to the one in Waikiki. So when you say Rotary...
We're at Waikiki Yacht Club.
Right, Waikiki
Yacht. Right in Ala Moana Park, yeah.
So now, how is that correlation between that and the men's shed? They sponsored you?
I think in Australia, the first men's sheds were sponsored by Rotary. It was just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. And the coincidence in my life is as you get closer to retiring... Mm-hmm. You start really thinking about what's important and how to be meaningful and
give back to the community.
That's
what I love about the Rotary.
Yeah. And the men's sheds, as I understand it, it could be a place where somebody can go for a cup of coffee if they want and just to talk to whoever's there on that
day. So you actually have a location right now.
Yes, we do.
Okay, we'll talk about that, but later on. But I want to get the last guy, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
And so, what did you retire from? Can I ask?
I'm not retired. I'm still working. Also, I guess more full time than part time. I'm an engineering, but I have an engineering background also, like Glenn. But I have my own business as a manufacturer's representative, and I sell factory automation systems on the mainland.
Factory automation system.
Yeah,
look.
So I'm still trying to get that done.
So factory, I'm not an
engineer. Automation, think manufacturing, and you're making a product, you're assembling perhaps two or three or four or five components, and I'm working on the equipment that does that.
Wow, good for you. So you, are you good with your hands as well then?
Yeah, I've always been working with tools. When I was a kid, I grew up, my grandfather was a carpenter, so we were always doing projects.
Oh, cool.
And I'm relatively new to Honolulu. I've only moved here about 5 years ago. And my wife and I live in a condo. And, of course, when you when you live in a condo, it's very difficult to have a table saw and a drill press in your living room. Yeah. So the idea of having a mensch at the go-to where possibly I can do some projects would be, you know, kind of keep that active part of my life. I think.
What part of the mainland did you come from? Where are you living?
Near Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, cold.
Cold. Absolutely, it's cold.
Yeah,
they just had a snowstorm
right now.
They had the snowstorm. We didn't. I'd like that part.
In fact, they shut down all the flights in New York or the D.C. yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I was supposed to be in Chicago and the national conference that my co-host Melissa went to, but instead I'm going to Arizona tomorrow to watch spring training baseball with my son. Much warmer place. So,
right.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, Jerry. What Michael just said, a place to go. So, Glenn or Jerry, can you explain where are you supposed to have your facility now?
We are currently located at, they call it Snug Harbor and Sand Island, just before that bridge you go
the
over.
Overpass?
Yeah, before the bridge. On the left side is a gate. You enter that. There's some buildings there.
Take a left, and it's on the right side or left side?
As soon as you come in, you turn left.
Yeah.
Then it's on the right,
side
as you come in. But it's owned, that the property is currently owned by, those buildings are owned by the Department of Transportation, Harbors Division. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we're fortunate enough that they weren't using this facility for many years. Looks like it's been vacant for many years. And they graciously allowed us to temporarily use it to run our shed operations. And they understand what we do at the shed, mm-hmm. is work with hand tools and work on projects, whether it's for a community, a project like a school, a library, or for our own home projects. We can bring our home projects there and work on it together or work on it individually as we see fit. But the space is pretty large. It's about 6,000 square feet.
Wow, that's big.
Part of it is, looks like a warehouse where it has this steel door that goes up, and a pretty good-sized truck can get in there, mm-hmm. and unload or load up things. But we currently have a project that we're working on, restoring 35 used bikes that were going to be dumped because they were stored somewhere. And we're fortunate enough to get them donated to us, and our goal was to restore as many of these bicycles as possible, get them in working order, and donate them to a charity that deals with underprivileged children, you know, that can use bikes.
Oh, great. So is that your first major project you're working on right now, Glenn?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I wanted to get back. So, you know, while you're thinking, so I'm out quite a bit. We were at UH yesterday. We had a couple hundred students come in because we were trying to introduce them to the your field of aging. So we had recruiters, we had facilities out there. We even had an architect that does aging in place. But my mind's always moving when you're talking about what you did. I'm thinking to myself, Michael's going to back his truck up and go, okay, boys, I got my tools. Here's my – so does everybody bring their tools and their equipment and they put it in the shed, or how does that work?
We've had a lot of tools donated.
Really?
Yes, and we're open to more donations of tools. A lot of times, guys have tools that they use, and then all of a sudden they move into a smaller place.
Sure.
Or they pass on, and their wife says, "Wants to know what in the world am I going to do with all these tools?"
I have nearly 1,000 clients, and it happens quite a bit. In fact, you should actually talk to my brother and my niece, who has a Declutter Hawaii. Because they go into houses every day to declutter, and they don't know what to do with this, a lot of this stuff. So they know certain nonprofits take certain things, right? They don't take everything. They'll find out, what do you have? Okay, we'll take this stuff. So they work with a number of nonprofits because they take only specific things. So that might be something to contact. They're in a magazine, Declutter Hawaii. Ask for Cynthia, because they run into that quite a bit. I mean, they're in homes almost every day. But it's interesting because I was at my dad's house. I saw this portable mobile pitching mound. It's about 8 feet by 4 inches high. And one we have on our team in Manoa is plastic with a carpet that's falling off every time. So I said, we got to fix this. We got to buy another one or build another one. So I thought, hey, my dad can build it. So I took a picture of it. He went online and he actually built a wood one. And then he put carpet over that. And it's this angle. It's a little higher. It's about 4.5 inches by about 9 feet long. So it folds in half. But he's smart. And you probably would see this. So he looked at this thing. It was quite heavy. He couldn't lift it up. And I could barely lift it up. So he's smart. He drilled holes on the side to make it lighter. I mean, I would have never thought of that. I'm sure you guys probably would have thought of that if you looked at, how can I make this lighter? But so it's right into my mind. So I think, Jerry, I think we need to have another article for the donations because we're very well read. We print over 35,000 copies. We're statewide through all the library systems. And the Big Island people, if they can ship it over, because Big Island, we get several thousand copies of KTA. And it runs out within a couple of weeks. The people at KTA love the magazine.
I think that would be great because this way we can recycle what people would normally throw away and put it to good use. Because what we get, we work on, we'll donate it to an organization or a school that really needs these products. Sure. You know, so it can be used and enjoyed by other people.
Well, you know, my mind's always moving when you guys are talking. And since Michael and Jonathan are still working, you have a lot of contacts out there, more than the average retired person. But here's the thing. Like I said, my mind's always thinking. You know what? Have you ever been to McKinley Book Sale? Book sale? What are they selling? Used books. This might be a great fundraiser for you guys to get tools in. Because you know what? I have a small house, and we renovated last year, and I want to do some small things around the house, right, that I don't have to hurt my fingers or my hand. And I had to go buy a pliers or something. Tools are expensive. And a drill. And if somehow I lost the battery pack, and I didn't have to get a new battery pack, but tools are expensive. So that might be something to think about down the road when you guys get much, much larger. So you're a legal nonprofit.
Yes, we're a 501c3.
So you have all the filing, you have the GE, you have a bank account, everything?
All those things.
So are you guys, is anybody in the U.S. thinking about, like, watching you guys and seeing, hey, what's going on over there?
Yes. There are a number of people. We've started the United States Men's Set Association.
Wow. You guys started it?
Yes. Its home is in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And there are three of us.
Wait. How did you get to Jackson Hole? Why is it not in Honolulu, Hawaii?
Well.
Is somebody in Jackson Hole?
Somebody's in Jackson Hole. So anyway, there are three of us on the board, and we've organized that group.
Wow.
And so there are probably 7 or 8 men's sheds now in the process of starting.
Wow, good for you.
From Boston to Austin, Texas to San Francisco.
Wow. Well, you know, when you go to your national convention, you're the keynote speaker, let me know. We'll do a story on you. But so like Jonathan and Michael, since you guys are still working, can I ask how often do you go to the men's shed?
Oh, perhaps weekly, once a week, or every other week, depending on
the schedule. Yeah, that's about it. You know, it could be once a week, once every
depending
other week.
Depending what's going on.
Yeah.
Or Jerry puts a call out, we need all hands on deck.
Well, one of the times that the shed is open is Saturday morning, so there's always that opportunity to get there.
I'm sorry, you're only open Saturday morning?
No.
We're open Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays.
Oh, I get it. Oh, so so what about if somebody comes in with, like, when Michael says, well, I want to do this project for my house. Can you do that?
Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or he can help with one of our projects, or he can just come and talk story with people.
Or you can find somebody who has a talent that you might need that you don't have, you know, how to make a dovetail joint, you know, or something, you know. There's a guy there that might know how to do that.
Well, I was just at a house this morning in Kapahulu with she moved back from living in D.C. for 50 years probably, and she's renovating her parents' house, and I'm walking into rooms, and she got these, what do you call it, shoji doors?
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
wants to refinish that. Maybe that's something you guys should do is – he'd be like a local handyman, charge him a smaller fee. I mean, my mind's always moving about ideas, Jerry, so don't mind me. But it's something that she doesn't know how to do. She doesn't know what to do. She's an attorney. So I said, wow, maybe I should call you guys. But so this the men's shed there, real quick, since I saw Jerry's question here, can women join?
Yes. Oh. Yes. But we do plan to have mostly men's activities.
Hey, come on now. Women can pound nails,
of
too.
Of course they can. Of course
And men can crochet. That's
Oh,
true.
Absolutely. You know, my father, I've told a story before, my father learned to play bridge because my mother played bridge. And, you know, being a military officer, bridge? I don't think so. But he wanted to learn to spend time with her because he was away traveling and he was in Vietnam, did two tours in Vietnam. And that was kind of surprising because, you know, many years ago, I was reading about men and you know, what do you call that? What's the name? He was the, I call him the, there's a name for men that are well-read and well-schooled in all different kinds of traits. If you know that, I'll get to that name.
Renaissance.
Renaissance man. Yes, Michael. I call him Renaissance man because he can do anything. He can fix anything. He used to have a truck because he always wanted a truck in his life. Finally got a truck. But after like 7 years, he gave it up because you know why? Everybody kept on asking, hey, can you bring a truck over? Can I use the truck? See, he got rid of the truck. Renaissance man. So what kind of men, how many men do you have right now?
We've got 27 members right now.
Wow. And is there a dues or?
Oh, yeah, but it's minimal.
Minimal?
$25 a year.
A year. So no monthly, no.
Well, we'll see. Depends on how things work out.
Good for you. So what kind of men are comprised of the association right now? Dentists, engineers, construction workers?
All kinds.
Yeah?
All kinds.
Attorneys, a couple of lawyers.
You got to have those.
Everywhere.
I'm a retired banker. David Talbert is a retired airline pilot.
I know David. I know his wife, Jill.
Yeah.
They have two young sons. My son's age. That's why I know him.
I think John Parker is a retired professional photographer.
What other backgrounds are there?
One guy is a retired president of National Public Radio in Hawaii.
Oh, I know him.
Michael Tillerton.
Yeah, keep on forgetting his name. Anyway, wow, so they're all...
Mike Tillerton?
Yeah.
Tillerton.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he retired to do that, huh? Good for him.
We also have a member who is a retired federal employee who loves agriculture or working with plants. So he joined the Orchid Club, and he's trying to promote their event, but he also joined the Shed, and he loves to do things to learn how to work with his hand in other ways. So he's...
And he's particularly valuable to us because he has a pickup truck.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, my dad had a truck. He always wanted a truck. You know, he had a Lexus. He had an old Mustang at one point, I think, but he had a Impala. He always wanted. He's cracking me up because I said, "You want a truck?" I said, and we have 14 grandkids and 9 great grandkids, and all the grandkids. Oh, can you help me move here, move there, or clean up this? And after a while, he said, "I got to give this up because we get them." And so he had to drive over there, and he had to end up helping move the furniture. So he said, "You know what? At 70-something years old, 80 years old, he said, I got to give this up." It was quite funny. But so are you looking at other projects? We'll get to that bicycle project, but are you looking at any other projects at all?
Definitely we are. We are looking at some woodworking projects. We recently got some wood donated, and we're kind of deciding what to do with that wood in a productive way.
One of our members found a website that had 1,001 projects to do with pallets.
With pallets?
Wooden pallets. And so he's brought in a bunch of wooden pallets, and we've been tearing them apart and sorting the wood.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine works at the docks. I mean, they just throw them away or donate it, right? Because they can't use it. They can't use it only so many times, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I see something about health studies. What are you doing with that?
We are doing any health studies, but there are many health studies that have been done on men's sheds. A friend from Australia sent me a bibliography recently of 21 articles about the health benefits of men's sheds that have been written in the last 18 months.
Wow. Jerry, you better include that in your article.
12 of them in peer-reviewed journals.
Really?
Wow. So it's a proven fact that Men's Shed members live longer, more productive, happier lives.
Well, just getting out of the house, first of all, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Having social contact with your boys there. But it's the fact that you're doing something for the community, and you know you guys are still very active, you're still working. But that's part of what Generations Magazine tried to do, kind of get people out of the house, be proactive in healthy living. I'm 57. I still think I'm 27. I'm still playing sports, but we all need to do that. So I'm glad you did it. Jerry, we're going to take a short break. That's half the show already. You guys can talk a lot. So we want to come back and talk about some of that bicycle project and some of the other items that you're doing over here and some of the benefits that you guys have received and learned over the time. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this message.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690 The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to A Medicare Moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
The name to remember for primary health care in Hawaii is Dr. Jeffrey Lin, board-certified family physician with over 20 years' experience and a special interest in taking care of senior citizens. He's now located in the Kuakini Medical Plaza. And from now to the end of March, Dr. Lin is offering free flu shots to protect you and your family this flu season. To schedule an appointment, please call 824-0411 or log in to mdhonolulu.com. Dr. Jeffrey Lin, healthcare for the whole family at mdhonolulu.com.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio here this weekend, every Saturday and Sunday. As you guys know,
check out the magazine. And I just saw Jeff Apaka yesterday. He's very much happy. I told Jeff he's got to carry around a backpack of magazines because everywhere he goes, everybody's asking for his autograph. In fact, if you go to Times Kamakee, every week we replenish that because people are picking up 10 to 20 copies at a time at Kamakee Times. Yeah, Jeff says, really? I said, yeah. Every time he goes there, once a week, it's gone. So we try to replenish as fast as possible. But that area in Kahala, Kamakee, has one of the highest concentrations of seniors in the area. Mm-hmm. That might be a great area to look at as well. But also to introduce the men's shed, you might want to think about the Parks and Recs. They have a lot of, they have 36 clubs on this island alone. And they meet almost every week except for June and July.
We've had a lot of connection with Parks and Rec. And they're not particularly interested in us. They want organizations that they can run.
Yeah.
And no, we are independent.
Right.
We run our own show.
So what you want to do is, Jerry or Glenn or Michael or John says, go do a presentation and ask for people that want to join. So they're always looking. Every week they'll call me because they want a speaker. See? So what their same thing, too, is to get people to be stay active and get out. So they only meet once a week. For a couple hours, depending on the group. So it'd be great for them to introduce the program, and they can go to your what, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, right? But they only meet once a week. So it's a way that, so every week they have somebody come in, talk about different programs and services. And so you can, in fact, if you go to our website, generations808.com, search Parks and Recs or Senior Clubs. It'll pull out the ones, I think the last one we did was 2014. It has a time and day they meet and a phone number you can call. Tell them, you know, we have this program for men, senior men's, and that if you would like to get your act, we take women too, but to come and do a presentation. They're always looking for speakers, and especially nonprofits. But Kaneohe has the biggest group. They have about 80 to 90 people come every week. Second biggest group. The biggest group. And the biggest men's group I've ever seen is Moanalua. Have you been there, Jerry?
Yes.
Oh, are you a member?
No, I...
You couldn't get in.
When I worked at the bank, I had to give a talk on identity theft to the seniors over there at that community.
About 120 to 150.
Yeah, I was overwhelmed. They were all there.
And, you know, mostly when I go to these clubs, maybe 10% are men. That one's about 25% of men. I was shocked, and they're very organized. They set up and break down every meeting, including speakers, because there's so many people that have to have microphones. But they're a great, great group. Because Moanalua actually technically has the highest demographic of seniors in the community. Kamakee is number two, and then Waikiki is number three. But they're a great group over there. I'm not too sure who the president or program chair is, but it's in the magazine. The phone number, just drive down there. It's underneath that bridge, underneath the highway, yeah? But anyway, so the March, February, March issue is out. Jerry, yeah, we'll have to get you another article in here to get you more volunteers and members and maybe people that can donate. But anyway, I wanted to talk. So you were talking about this program that you found out that there were like some 30 or so bicycles that were going to be thrown away?
Yes. Glenn lives in a condo in Waikiki, and he's in touch with the people there. And somehow he brought up the men's shed and some of the projects that we were looking at, and I don't know how it came into bicycles, but they kind of discussed how they could donate these bicycles, which would have normally been tossed because a lot of them are...
They're all abandoned bicycles that people have left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we're happy to receive that. And, you know, looking for a project to have our men work on, that would be perfect because... it's something that we know we can tackle and handle and turn these bikes around so that others can appreciate
and enjoy. So the bicycle is over at your men's shed there?
We have it stored in our, and they're secured. So we're currently drafting up the plan on how this whole restoration project will work. We will also need to be purchasing parts, you know, the parts that we can't salvage from the other bikes we will purchase through local sources or even bring them in from the mainland.
Have you talked to the local bike shops here?
No. Yeah.
Not yet.
No? I just bought it.
when you say bikes, I used to ride my bike a lot. You know, back in the day we did, right? I'm 57, so I used to ride bike to school. And even on the mainland when I went to elementary school and an intermediate school. But so bikes I know, but I just bought a bike about 3 years ago. It's a used bike place right by the university. It's actually right across Times. The old Star Market, what's that? CVS Longs now. Right across the street in that small two-story building, it's a used bike place. They have a new bike place that sells bikes on Kapahulu. It's a sister company. But you got to ask the guys over there. They might want to help you out and donate. And, you know, everybody wants to give back to the community, right, Jonathan? So that's really important. But, you know, in fact, the guy that works on a bike is a friend of my brother's. That's why I was like, wow, okay. So I used to ride the Waikiki from my house by Punahou for exercise. Me and remember the old Frank B. Shaner?
Yes.
Yeah. Him and me would ride to Waikiki and back. If I got to talk to him, I just texted him yesterday. He's on Maui now. But so I would stop by there because I have a loose bolt or my chain or my seat would always, because I'm kind of heavier now, my seat would kind of bend back every time. So I go over there and fix it me free. But that might be something to do. That we don't
it might be a source for parts.
Yeah, source of parts. Oh, they got a lot of parts there.
Yeah, it might be.
Everybody wants to be part of the community. Might be a good, great place to do. Well, Island Triathlon, I mean, they're one of the biggest, right, on Kapahulu. In fact, I think that might be their sister company. But, yeah, you should check it out.
We even thought of contacting HPD because they store a lot of confiscated or abandoned bikes, and they have an annual auction, I guess, to sell the ones that are good. But we're kind of wondering what to do with the ones that are damaged. They'll probably dump it somewhere. So maybe if they donate it to an organization that can restore it and put it to good use in the community, we could partner up with them on that. And
you might need another 100 volunteers for that project.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, certainly.
Lots of bikes.
But that's a great idea. I know I thought about it, too, because you could donate it to all the nonprofit like Catholic Charities, Salvation Army. You know, not that you want a lot of bikes on the road, but then again, we have that age-friendly thing going on with the city and the mayor, and they already have lanes on King Street, and I think they can put on Bear Canyon, Wailai, Kapahulu. I think on Makali, going to Waikiki, I think they're going to put one too.
We're sharing our warehouse with the people who are going to do the bike share program.
Oh, those guys downtown.
They're going to have 1,000 bicycles.
I just saw something in the news actually this morning, I think, on that. They're talking about different kind of bikes. I don't know, that's another story because they saw that in Europe, and I've been to Europe, and I saw that over there. But I think they're going to charge like $3 or $4 one way. So I don't know whether that's going to work or not. But unless they get the bikes from you guys, it'll be a lot cheaper. But I mean, so are you looking at other projects? Are you kind of brainstorming? Because you got Michael and Jonathan here that are in the business still yet, and they must see a lot of people and must have great ideas, right?
Well, I think we're trying to find projects that would interest the membership, but also the idea is to get members interested in a project so they come out of the house, so they find something that is usable for them or perhaps for something giving back to the community. You know, that's the aspect. I don't know if we're looking for projects just for projects in and of themselves, but it's to really generate interest in our shed so that we get people, you know, to come and just be involved.
In fact, I thought of something, and I spoke to Glenn a couple of weeks ago. I used to belong to the Kalihi Business Association, representing one of the banks here in Kalihi, and they're very close to all of the elementary schools in Kalihi area, the DOE state schools. And I know most of the schools have a wish list of things they need fixed or replaced, like bookshelves and benches and little tables and stools. And I thought, what a great thing if we can get on to that kind of project as a men's shed, because we'll be situated close to Kalihi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As a good neighbor, maybe find a way to work with those schools so that we can kind of be a good neighbor.
So did you talk to Marlene Tsai over there, over at the Nakapuna Makamai project?
I sure have. She's a really nice person. We are hoping to join with them for a permanent shed.
Yeah, in the back there. They have two. I didn't realize there's
two other buildings
properties behind the main one.
Have you ever been into the...
Oh, I was there at the grand opening.
But have you been into the back buildings?
No, because I know the second building used to be a kitchen or something. There's a back building, and I've never seen a back
building. The back building is really interesting because when you walk in the door, it drops down 25 feet.
Drops down?
Yeah.
What was it before?
That's where the pumps are.
Oh.
So that was the pump house.
Right.
That's the one we're hoping to get. They're going to build an intermediate floor and a ground level floor.
Is it over 1,000 square feet?
No, it's about 800. Yeah, that's what
I
thought.
I think it was smaller than the front building.
Yeah, much smaller.
Oh.
But it's a square building, so it's good space.
So you saw this issue here I'm holding over here from, I believe it was last summer we did it on Marlene, and we brought out. And so we're doing another story in a couple of weeks, a couple more issues down the road of what they're doing. They've got a bunch of programs out there that could work perfect for you folks. And that's one of their goals, you know, to get people out and into the facility. So I was talking to Senator Brickwood there that, you know, I'd like to see. I like music. So one thing we lack in Honolulu is local music, you know. And there's no really place you can go for a Friday Kanakapila and listen to older Hawaiian music. So hopefully down the road they're going to have that over there on Fridays. So we're hoping that they can get that. But that'd be a great. I know they're looking at different ideas, what to put over there.
Yeah. By the way, Senator Galateria has been a really big help to us. We contacted him early on, and he's an enthusiastic supporter. He's the guy who got us the warehouse out at Sand Island.
Oh.
And although we only have it for 6 months, his suggestion was we should get our foot in the door, and he'll find something better for us. So,
well, if you ever met his mother, you don't know where he gets his energy from. I mean, he loves the magazine. I've seen her several times around town, and she's got a lot of energy, I'll tell you. Watch out for that lady. But
anyway, he put us in touch with Marlene Tsai, as a matter of fact. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, Marlene used to work for Senator Galateria. So you only have this shed for 6 months?
Yes. Yes. Bulldozers are going to take it down.
Oh, really?
And it'll be another container station.
How much? I mean, when is that going to happen? In a few months? You said 6 months.
Well,
right?
They said it would be July or August, but we're thinking it'll be September or October.
Or maybe next year. Tell them slow down.
Or January.
Yeah. By the way, you know, the permit process and all this thing. So
it'll take a while.
Yeah. And we're talking to the people at Waikiki Senior Center. They would like to have a men's shed there too.
Talk to Jeff Apaka there. He works over there. The new director over there. I'm not sure she's new, but I know they're trying to change up things over there and get seniors out there. They hired a new program lady, and she's got a ball of energy too. I just met her a couple months ago.
Is that Merle?
Yeah.
Kino?
Oh my goodness.
Merle. O'Brien.
Yeah, she's got a lot of energy. She's got a lot of ideas. But what we should do is come to the Kupuna Caucus. It's the first Friday of every month, and introduce yourself, and you know they let you stand up on any programs out there, any needs, wants, and Senator Brick was there normally, and then Greg Takayama's there, but you should really come to that. And also it's the last Monday of the month, I believe, at Harris United Methodist Church. It's called Kokua Council. They have a bunch of seniors there as well, and introduce the program. But you're going to find what you want to do is be able to hang around people that are in the same boat as you, retired or semi-retired, but are concerned about senior issues or have programs out there. Because what we're trying to do with the magazine, because if you read our magazine, Generations, we have a lot of nonprofit programs out there. So we're trying to help everybody kind of work together and market it and learn different things about the different programs out there.
In fact, we were fortunate enough to have a table at the mayor's craft fair held a few months ago.
Yeah.
And the people who stopped by were women. And, you know, of course, they're inquiring as far as what is this thing, the men's shed. So after explaining to them, of course, we asked, are you married? Do you have a husband or a father who lives in Honolulu that might be interested? And a lot of them said, yeah. They indicated that they saw that our program would appeal to them because at least it gets them out of the house and gets to meet other men, and maybe they have something in common, you know, share some good things.
That's one of our membership problems. The people we're looking for are guys that are reclusive. They don't want to join anything.
It's very true. I saw you at the Mayor's Country Craft Fair, and it is so common. That's why it's important to get to the Senior Parks and Rec clubs, because I've been to, I would say, 20-plus clubs. And I tell you, if you talk to the women there, they'll tell you the same thing. I'm trying to get my husband out, but there's nothing out there. Like, there's Rotary, there's Lions, but then they got to dress up.
And they're expensive.
Then they got to, I would say expensive, but, you know, $20 or whatever. Yeah, I guess so. But you got to go somewhere. You got to dress up. You got to shave, right? You don't have to do it in a men's shed, right? I mean, maybe Glenn and Jonathan.
No shaving allowed in a men's shed.
You don't have to shave, right? I mean, I don't shave on a weekend, but I don't have to go to work, you know. But I think I think, when you ping that picture, and then maybe when you're going to do the meeting, tell them, bring your husband, because it's very, and you might want to have some pictures too, because people think differently and they receive information differently. Yeah, that's why a magazine is on glossy paper, not on newsprint, because people want to see detail. Like when they see the pictures on a magazine, we're very conscious about what a magazine cover looks like, because people can look at it and see the wrinkles or no wrinkles, and they want to see, recognize people that they know. But when you do a presentation, you might want to have a little poster board thing with pictures of what you guys actually doing things. Because, yeah, it's hard to get through men. we're speaking at ARP is doing a big caregiver conference on March 25th at the Japanese Cultural Center. And I would tell you probably 80% of people there are women. And it's hard to get to the men. But I always tell funny stories about my parents. My dad was a retired colonel. I mean, he commanded troops. He was in D.C. at the Pentagon for several years. He was head of the Seoul Yongsan base in Korea, which he loved. And then when he came back home, he retired at 52. He's 88. So he's been retired 36 years. He was active duty only 31 years. So he's been retired longer than he actually worked. Well, he could do that back in those days. But it was interesting. I tell the story quite a bit because it's funny, but it's true. You know, I would have lunch with my parents, and then I'd go over there because they're very busy. I have to find a day they're not busy. I would go there and eat lunch, and then one day at lunch, this is about maybe 10 years ago, and after you finish lunch, my mother was talking to my mom, my dad's on my left side, and he goes, "Move your arm, I got to get the table." Oh, okay. And he picks up my dishes. I'm watching him carrying the dishes into the kitchen, comes back out, "Move your hand, I got to wipe the table." He's a cloth wipe the table. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that. And he's washing dishes. I have never seen that. And I looked across my mom. She's looking at me. I'm looking like kind of strange. He goes, "It's my time." My mom tells me that. I go, "My time? Yeah, your dad, you know, he sat at home and, you know, went to work and I cook and clean and now it's my time. Now he's got to do that." It's interesting, the dynamic shift in men's lives, you know.
We certainly do that in my family.
Yeah. But it's something that men have to understand. As in fact, I hate to say this, but the fastest growing divorce age is 60 plus, because they're at home with their wife 24/7. They're not the owner or manager of the company anymore, the boss. So my dad went from colonel to private. My mom went from private, not the colonel. She went to general, you know. And it's the dynamic is so true. So when I speak around town quite a bit, I say, "You better be nice to your wife, because she's the one pushing a wheelchair. You're going to get up in the morning, Glenn, and say, 'Honey, I made 90. Or my dad's going to be 89 this year, 90 next year. Because you're going to make 90. You're going to tell my mom, 'I want Portuguese eggs and rice.' Guess what? My mom's going to say, 'Doctor said eat oatmeal.' Guess what you're going to eat? You're going to eat oatmeal." So the changes in relationship is something that we see quite a bit. In fact, we have a life coach in the magazine, Annette Pang. And she does coaching for families because we're seeing the dynamic shift where communication, mm-hmm. whether they're dealing with Alzheimer's or dementia or just caregiving, and how to talk to the kids back and forth, because it's something that's in Hawaii is a very, very big problem, because we have a lot of real estate, very expensive real estate. Caregiving, we're the fourth highest in the country. We live longer than anybody. And that's one thing for you guys. We live longer than any place in the United States. University of Hawaii did a study 6-7 years ago about Japanese living in Hawaii versus living in Japan, and Koreans living in Korea and Hawaii and Filipino, all these nationalities, and they live longer here. And the major reason why, we're only 20 minutes from hospital. Besides being good weather, we eat healthier, we exercise, but we're because
there are lots of good reasons.
You
to
can
live
go
in Hawaii.
To a doctor. I mean, we probably go to a doctor more than anybody else in the U.S.
Right? I thought of another thing too, because we have so many people from diverse backgrounds and where they came from anyway, sure. And visitors come from all over the yeah. world. We're constantly exposed to germs, you know. They're bringing it in. They're taking it with them. But I think it makes our bodies a little more tolerable in how to deal with this. That's why
absolutely.
We don't have too many local people dying of the flu, you know, that kind of thing. Most of them can overcome the basic colds and stuff like that.
Well, it doesn't get too cold, too hot like Chicago or Philadelphia, you know. Yeah. But it's really important. So for the baby boomers that I know you guys listening to the show, what would you tell them? How to get the dad out?
Well, I can talk in terms of I lost two cousins over the last 2 years. Both of them are a little older than I am, and both of them died unattended death. They were found a week after they passed, which wow. is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
Now, I thought had they known about things like a shed or a social club that they could have gone out and joined instead of living solo, and both of them were unmarried, had no family here. And I thought, you know, there's better ways to end your life than that. So I think the Men's Shed, we feel, gives men an opportunity to at least go out and meet other people, get into a project, become active, right? Like you say,
get back to the
active
community.
Life means a yeah. Healthier life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Social contact.
I would say my advice would be to tell your parents to become active, to go out. You know,
yes.
don't let dad sit home and
yep.
and you know, just kind of not do many things that are active. But the socialization, I think, is really part of the big key here.
Yeah.
And to get men out, have them talk to people, and whether they're great and perfect with woodworking, I don't know, or any other mechanical things, that's not necessarily that critical, because there's other people there that can help you or not, or you can just be with people. You're just yeah. there.
You well, know? I like the fact that you guys are still working and you're giving back. And you know, I'm not very good with my hands. I'm good with my brain. But I mean, I like the fact that you're doing this bicycle thing. I was a kid. I loved bicycle. I mean, I used to ride bicycle all the time. You know, well,
we need brains too. You know, we need organizers. We need organizers. One of the things. I think maybe is most important is a lot of guys don't want to commit to some organization. And to make it easier, I think when you look at how the Australian sheds are set up and all, it's sort of like a boys and girls club, except it's older guys. And we have a lady, we have a couple women in our club.
So women can join, yes.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't mean you have to be a senior. I think our youngest people are in the 30s.
Really?
We have some people helping with organization.
Patrick and Carolyn.
Oh, good for
and,
them.
And that's how we have help with our website.
You have a website?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So I think Glenn can talk about that.
Yeah. You so
talk
about the we got about a minute left. So I need to get all your contact information. What phone number is the best? Who's the best person? What phone number should we call?
Oh, call me, Glenn Sears.
Sears, like the store.
Yes. And I'm at 373-6140.
That's 373-6140. Or what, Jerry, you want to go out and call you or no?
Glenn, I'll give you my number.
Yeah, Jerry Taniyama.
Yes. 286-3743.
Okay, now what's that website? Because you know, young
website.
Kids, right?
Yeah, the website is HawaiiMensShed.org, and men's is M-E-N-S. It's plural, or possessive rather. HawaiiMensShed.org.
Oh, great!
And one thing, so the motto of Men's Sheds around the world is that women talk face to face. Men talk shoulder to shoulder.
Great, great saying, Glenn Sears, Jerry Taniyama, and Jonathan and Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look out for the next article and the coming issues. Thank you very much, everybody. We're here every Saturday from 5 to 6 and Sunday from 3 to 4. Aloha and live well.